When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to The X-Zone, everyone. I am Rob McConnell. We're coming to you from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. If you'd like to send me an email, xzone at xzoneradiotv.com, on all social media sites, xzone radio TV. To find out about the programming we have available for you 24/7, 365 on the X-Zone Broadcast Network, www.xzbn.net. And for the X-Zone TV channel, channel 21 on Simul TV, visit www.simultv.com. Explanation. My guest this hour is John Kerner. He is a professor of American history at Erie Community College in Williamsville, New York. He is the author of several books about the paranormal, including The Mysteries of Father Baker, The Father Baker Code, Supernatural Power, The Secret Plot to Kill McKinley, and Why the CIA Killed JFK and Malcolm X, The Secret Drug Trade in Laos, and some other books. And John Kerner has a master's degree in American history from the State University of New York College at Brockport and a bachelor's degree in communications journalism from St. John Fisher College, where he graduated summa cum laude with honors. He also founded Paranormal Walks, a ghost walk company that explores the paranormal history of Western New York through annual walking tours. He resides with his family in Buffalo, New York, just across the Niagara River from Canada here. And if you'd like to get more information, his website is paranormalwalks.com. And John, welcome to the X-Zone.
Rob, thanks for having me.
Where did your interest in the paranormal come from?
Well, I think growing up in Western New York, we have such a wide history and respect for it. I think originally the Iroquois Confederacy, all their legends and tales really fascinated me. And I think that's kind of how I got hooked in it. As a kid, my mother was just respectful of the Iroquois and talked a lot about them, you know, the giants, little people. And when I became a professor of history, later on, many Iroquois actually attended my classes and kind of piqued my interest in that too.
So how haunted or how spooky or how supernatural is Western New York on a scale of 1 to 10, based on your experience?
Well, it's got so much a wide variety of things. I'd say probably all the way to 10. I mean, you have tours that I do. I mean, I do tours in Lockport, Hamburg, and Medina, and also Buffalo as well. And there's such a rich history of so much just layers of death from the Erie Canal and from the Iroquois, and you know, even more modern times with like the mafia, even just a lot of unusual stories and unusual deaths from the area.
Now, you've written a book called Why the CIA Killed JFK and Malcolm X, but you also talk about the death of JFK Jr. What can you tell us about that?
Right, this is my latest book. It's called Exploding the Truth, JFK Jr. Assassination. And it's kind of hard to believe, but 20 years ago, next summer, on July 16th, it'll be 20 years since
my
his
gosh.
Tragic death.
Doesn't seem that long.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
I know, isn't it? Just the day I remember clearly. It's just such a shocking thing. He was just such a widely, beloved man, and such a man with grace. And he tried to kind of keep himself above politics. And it's almost like I wasn't alive at the time. I was talking to my family, and my mother said it's very similar to how we all felt when his father died. Like he just been taken away too young. And the book that I have, it tries to examine some questions about the official version of events, that it was just an accident. And I think we should raise some serious questions about what happened that night. So what was happening that night? He was traveling from New Jersey to Martha's Vineyard. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to drop his sister-in-law off there and head up to Hyannisport. It's supposed to be a beautiful weekend for the Kennedy family. Rory Kennedy, the youngest daughter of Robert Kennedy, was getting married that weekend. And he was heading up there with his wife and his sister-in-law. And then at precisely 9:40 p.m., his Piper Saratoga that crashes into Martha's Vineyard Sea, and he's taken away from us. And the official version of events is that he was suffering from something called spatial disorientation. And what that basically is, we all live in Western New York and Southern Ontario, and we know what blizzards are, where, for example, you don't know what's in front of you,
yeah,
what is left, what is right, and crash your car that way. It happens to pilots, too, where they can't see what's in front of them. Weather might be a factor with that. So the NTSB report said that is what caused the crash.
But wait a sec. Didn't he have, what about the instrumentation in the aircraft? Shouldn't that not have given him the information that he needed to avoid such an incident?
That's exactly right. I mean, that's one thing to talk about in the book. He knew how to use autopilot. Yeah. He passed instrument rating tests. And on April 22nd, 1998, he passed one with a hood on in the dark. So he knew how to use autopilot. He also flew that flight 17 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Without a flight instructor. Yeah, and five times at night. So he knew what he was doing. And we also know that the FAA studied the weather that night. This man named, from the FAA, his name was Meyer. And this man, I think his first name right now, his name is escaping me, but the FAA studied this, Harold Meyer. And he tried to determine what the weather was that night. And he said the weather was fine. There was nothing that would cause spatial disorientation. So we know that Kennedy was a good flyer. We know the weather was good. One key thing that I want to put into the public's mind, too. He made a call into air traffic control at 9:39 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And he took off 8:39 p.m. So precisely 1 hour into the flight, he calls in. He said he's on approach, about 2 miles out from the airport. And as most commercial pilots do, and even civilian pilots, they call 1 hour into the flight to check in. So he checked in then. And again, if anything was wrong with him or the aircraft or the weather, he would have said something right then. All he said was, you know, we're on approach to land. And then 1 minute later, there is an explosion. So we can conclude that there was no spatial disorientation.
Mm-hmm.
There was no distress call. He knew he was a good pilot. The weather was fine. And all these things lead me to conclude that this was an assassination. And if you look at the fact that there was witnesses on the ground, that three of them saw an explosion,
okay,
it adds up to this conclusion.
All right, but did the NTSB or the FBI find any trace evidence of an explosive material?
Well, this is what happened. It gets even weirder at this point. So we have the time that he calls in to air traffic control,
right,
9:39 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point in time, you would think it'd be easy to recover the aircraft. We know exactly where he went off of radar. We know exactly when he called in. And the water there is just 100 feet. But it takes them 5 days to recover the bodies. It makes completely no sense.
What are the currents like there?
They're completely flat. It's good for fishing. In fact, I've talked to several people that live up there, and the water is actually quite clear.
Okay, so you've got the NTSB.
Make any sense.
You've got the NTSB. You've got the FBI, because it went in the drink. The Coast Guard were involved, and it took all these agencies 5 days to find the aircraft.
It doesn't make any sense. And we can also mention too that there is one key piece of evidence that I think beyond anything else proves the complicity of the military-industrial complex in this assassination, and that's the rescue beacon. So ABC News and NBC News report that at 2:15 a.m., the Coast Guard and the Navy hear the Piper Saratoga's rescue beacon. This is on July 17, 2:15 a.m. They find the aircraft. They're closing in on it. And then the Navy says, oh, no, hang on a second. It's not the Piper of Saratoga. It is a downed Navy military aircraft.
Okay.
It's one of her own. So then at that point in time, the media drops the story and doesn't ask some very important questions. Where is the body for that pilot? What mission was this pilot on? What caused that crash? Where is the aircraft? All these questions were never asked to see if there was another plane in the water at that time. So what ends up happening is the story goes away. And what probably did happen is they did find the Piper of Saratoga at that time and needed this cover story of this other aircraft to buy themselves more time to cover up the scene of it, make it look like an accident.
All right, we've got to take our first break. Please stand by. ExoNation, our guest this hour is John Kerner. His website is paranormalwalks@gmail.com. And we'll be back on the other side of this break as we continue here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Once again, my email, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com. And you're listening to us around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network, Mutual Broadcast Network, iTunes, iHeart Radio, and Simul Radio and Simul TV. And of course, the X-Zone Broadcast Network. Don't go away. Explanation, John Kerner is our guest this hour, www.paranormalwalks.com. John, isn't it rather risky to say that the United States government was complicit in the assassination of John F. Kennedy Jr.?
It is risky. I mean, it's however, not uncommon. Let's look, for example, at his uncle, Robert Kennedy. It was proven just a few years ago that the agency, the CIA, was involved in his assassination. In fact, Sirhan admitted this to his lawyer. He was brainwashed by the agency.
But once
in fact,
again,
Robert Kennedy's son visited Sirhan in jail and now believes it too.
All right, so you've got someone who's been accused of murdering a U.S. senator, a senator who's going to make a run for the president of the United States. And he assassinates him, and then he says, well, you know, the CIA was involved. That's the proof?
Right. Well, the proof is that Sirhan has explained to his lawyer, William Pepper, and to Robert Kennedy's son, how he went through the MKUltra program and was brainwashed by the agency back in 1967 to 1968. Mm-hmm. And he talked all about this about a few years ago.
At the same time,
a woman came forward named Nina Rhodes Hughes, who backed up the story from Sirhan, that she was at the same time at the assassination scene, and she saw a second gunman, and she kept her mouth shut because she was afraid about being killed.
Now, I've talked to a number of people who were part of the MKUltra project, and they've never killed anyone.
Well, again, I'm just quoting Sirhan. This is what he said. It's all public record. And again, Robert Kennedy Jr. visited him in jail just this past year, interviewed him, and he's convinced that what I'm saying too, this comes right from the Kennedy family.
All right.
So I'm just saying what the assassin said and what the son said.
Yes,
I'm not saying this myself. I'm saying what they said.
All right. So basically what you're saying is based on what you've heard, the United States government is complicit in the assassination of Robert Kennedy Jr.
Not Robert Kennedy Jr. John F. Kennedy Jr.
I'm sorry, John F. Kennedy Jr.
Saying, yeah. Right. So I'm just looking at the facts of the case, as I'm saying. If you look at the facts of the case, you got to do reverse engineering here. You start with the crime scene. The cabin of the plane had been breached. This is also from Jim Mars, who studied the JFK assassination. He studied this assassination, too. He looked at all kinds of aircraft crashes in his career. Mm-hmm. He worked for the Texas newspapers. He saw many air crashes in his life. He said, if this crash was an accident, the plane would be crushed together on the ocean floor, bodies together, luggage, people, everything on the ocean floor. This would not happen here.
Wait a second.
There's a 17-mile nautical radius of the debris field where they found sneakers, luggage, mm-hmm. airplane parts, in a wide area.
If I'm not mistaken, when a commercial airline goes down, it doesn't go down to the bottom. You don't find everybody in one area. So I can't understand the logic behind this person saying that when it's false. It's wrong. Because if that was the case, every time a commercial aircraft goes down, there's a debris field. Bodies are found all over the place. They're not found at the bottom of the ocean, contained within the aircraft.
So sure, but what they found in this situation was they found things on the land, not things washed up on shore. So they were seeing things that had been flown through the air onto mm-hmm. land. So okay. we're seeing something from an explosion from the cabin.
Right.
And this corresponds to what people saw on the ground. So we had three witnesses
right.
who saw an explosion and a flash of light.
Mm-hmm.
And this is consistent with it being breached. We have Victor Probanek, for example. He was fishing there that night. He was a lawyer from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw in a flash of light an explosion. It also was reported from the Vineyard Gazette. I also saw the same thing. And remember, the Kennedy family saw the same thing, too. So we have three people who saw a flash of light and an explosion is consistent with being a cabin being breached with a wide debris field.
Okay.
And as I said before, the call in at 9:39 p.m., mm-hmm. it proves he wasn't suffering from disorientation. If he was, then he would have said so at that time. He did not. He was calling in to land. And 1 minute later, there was an explosion. So if there's anything wrong with the plane or himself, he would have said so. He did not.
How about a mechanical failure causing an explosion?
That's possible, too. But what I'm saying is that's mm-hmm. not what the NTSB report said. They said that he was the cause of the accident,
mm-hmm.
pilot error, not a mechanical defect. So that's possible, too. Sure. But their report says it was his fault. He was a bad pilot. He was unable to recover the aircraft, and it crashed into the sea with no explosion, with spatial disorientation.
All right.
That is not consistent with the evidence.
If this wasn't a Kennedy, would this be a story?
I don't know. Who knows? It seems like at that point in time, he was looking into getting involved with politics.
Mm-hmm.
And again, back to the point about the rescue beacon, too, is such a key thing to mention, because there is no way to confuse a naval rescue beacon with a civilian beacon. A Pepper Saratoga beacon is a high-pitched, shrill sound, and a naval rescue beacon is more like a foghorn. They never could confuse that. It's a deliberate lie that they made right there. They're two way different sounds. So when they made this lie that they didn't recover the Pepper Saratoga and said they were one of their own downed aircraft, never saying what pilot was killed, was a family informed, all of that was put forward to the public and never was it investigated by the media or anyone else. So that key point there about faking a rescue mm-hmm. beacon is such a key part of the evidence that there's something more to be asked about, this whole crazy thing of downed aircraft.
All right. 20 years ago, this happened. What relevance does it have today?
Why not look for the truth? Should we just always not learn from the past? Should that go for everything in our nation's history? Just because it happened long ago, just don't talk about it any longer? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm a historian. We learn from the past. That's what we do.
Yeah, we also know from history that the history is written by the victors, and that history at times has been totally tainted.
Well, think about this nonsense right now that he is QAnon, that JFK faked his death, JFK Jr. faked his death, and now mm-hmm. he's supposedly writing on the Internet. Just for that very reason alone, we can dispense with this, you know, fake news idea that he is somehow still alive writing on the Internet.
But
that's one reason we can say right there, because he's approaching 20 years since his death. And now people are going to say, well, he's still on the Internet writing as QAnon. There's one reason right there I can give you.
But who really cares? You know, when you know, there's stories that JFK was never assassinated. It was all a cover up to hide the fact that he was mentally ill. Then you've got other people who are still seeing Elvis all over the world. It's the society we live in.
If you don't want to look at the facts here, that's your problem. I mean, I'm laying out some very easy to know facts here that should be questioned about this.
All right, why weren't they?
He never made a distress call. There were three witnesses that saw an explosion, all mm-hmm. which are not consistent with the report of the NTSB. And if you don't ask questions about history, then you have a very closed mind.
The investigation was done. The investigation was closed.
But according to those that were there, mm-hmm. it's not consistent with the evidence. This myth was put forward by the media that he was some kind of bad pilot. That's not the case. You look at his flight record. He flew that same flight 17 times by the flight instructor, 5 times at night with a hood on when he did his instrument testing. He also, for example, back to 1982, was flying in the air for many years. He loved being in the air. He was a great pilot. That was the way he escaped from the stress of his life. So there was this idea that he also hurt his leg, that he couldn't fly because his leg was hurt. That's also not true. He got the cast removed the day before, and he had the whole 2 days to work off any kind of problems with his hurt foot. He talked to his doctors the day before. Right. Everything was fine. He had a whole hour of flight, and that proves right there his foot was not hurting him. So all these different myths are put forward about him, that he was some kind of crazy bad pilot or was wild and reckless with his life, none of which were true.
All right, I want to thank you for joining us. I think that you're full of hot air and you really don't know what the hell you're talking about. Obviously, a conspiracy theorist more than historian, because, you know, he's also written a book, Why the CIA Killed JFK and Malcolm X. Yeah, it sells. There's enough wing jobs out there who really get into this stuff. And it's not a matter of not wanting to ask questions. It's a matter of not believing the bull crap that conspiracy theorists are always spewing. If everything to them is the government conspiracy, somebody is getting assassinated, MKUltra, they have more excuses for why the world is all screwed up. They have no sense of reality. And how can you have somebody who claims to be an expert historian who actually does paranormal walks? You know, another book that he wrote was The Secret Plot to Kill McKinley. Then Why the CIA Killed JFK and Malcolm X. The Secret Drug Trade in Laos. Now, come on. Yeah. People like that just tick me off. We'll be back on the other side with, hopefully, a guest who knows what the hell they're talking about as we continue here in the X Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. My name is Rob McConnell, and in case you haven't noticed, I'm not taking this crap anymore. We'll be back. Don't go away.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.